blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for the above. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Jay, could you lower the piano and the monitors here? Pardon? Yeah. Piano's about to blast me away here. It's good to have all of you here this morning with us. If we have any visitors with us this morning, we do have a visitor card. If you would, please be sure to fill this out and turn it in. There's also, if first-time visitors, if you'd like to take this back to our welcome center back at the back, they will give you a gift. So be sure and do that. We'd appreciate it to have record of your visit. And I don't know of any announcements that need to be brought up this morning, and hopefully through the bulletin we'll provide you any announcements that are needed. So unless somebody has something specific that needs to be brought up. Okay. Let's have a word of prayer then before we continue on. Brother Ronnie, would you lead us in word of prayer? Amen. Let's turn to number 692, Wonderful Words of Life. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All are so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echoes the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Oft in peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words,
wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Turn now to number 687, Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting on my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Let's turn now to number 706, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. Let's all stand on this song.
Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives his keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Dark the might of sin has settled, Lord, the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor say, tempest-tossed, trying to make the harbor in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save.
Pat, would you lead us in prayer?
Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for the opportunity to be in your house. We ask for traveling mercies and watch care over those that are not with us today. Lord, pray for those that are sick, especially thank you, Mr. and Mrs. T. at this time. We remember them in prayer. Thank you for the blessings you've given each one of us. We ask you to be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We have special music this morning. Brother John is going to bring us a special to us, and then afterwards, then Brother Chong is going to bring us the message this morning.
There's no mountain so high, no valley long or dark, that Jesus would away from the place where you are. hands are tied, and you can't seem to find your way. When you're in that place, don't ever lose faith. He's a prayer away. He'll never leave, never forsake you. He wants you to see he's all that you need to make it through. Though you may not know your way, make no mistake, he'll never leave, he'll never forsake, no, he'll never leave. He'll never forsake.
See us all the time. Wherever we go.
Yeah, that's right.
God gave us the word this morning. It's from Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 35 through 34. Then James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to him, saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I baptize with?" They said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with you will be baptized. But to sit on right hand on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus came to them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great one exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whosoever of you desire to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Several weeks ago, I attended National Conference on Preaching in Washington, D.C. And there were more than 20 guest speakers. A lot of people gathered together. And one of the guest speakers came up and he asked, our denominational background. And he asked, is there any, the Baptist, raise a hand. And Baptist silently raise a hand. And how about Presbyterians? And Presbyterians raise a hand silently. And Methodists, they raise a hand silently. And he asked, Pentecostals, raise two hands. And they raise two hands and they say, hallelujah. And many people gathered from diverse locations. So one guy from Hawaii and several guys from the Canada. And some people came from Texas, like me. And one of guest speakers, whose name is Ed Stetzer, a LifeWay researcher, present an interesting statistics posted on CNN last year. He researched regular church attendance in Protestant and non-denominational in Christianity in the United States. And it says that percentage of Protestants population attending church regularly in the United States has declined from 23.2 to 90.8. You can see the graph. In 1972, there was 23.2 of populations. They regularly attended the church. But 2 years ago, in 2014, we have 90.8. There was 3.4 percentage point dropped. And he analyzed the reason. And he said, the convicted Christians pretty much steadily attended church every Sunday. But nominal Christians, cultural Christians, congregational Christians are becoming the nuns. They come to church not regularly, but sometimes. They heard the message, but they became non-Christians. We have missed these nominal Christians for decades. Through these statistics, we have learned, we have a lesson that the gospel should be preached outside of church, also inside church. People in the church need to hear the gospel, not just to the non-Christians, but to the Christians. In this point, I appreciate that the brother Peter have often preached the gospel in Sunday morning service. We need the gospel to hear. We need the gospel to accept. Today I want to share the gospel in different way. We strive to be his disciples, disciples of Jesus, right? Do you want to be disciples of Jesus? Yes, we do. His 12 disciples did not understand Jesus' intention. They made a lot of mistakes. When Jesus was captured and crucified, they ran away and they watched him crucified from long distance. Like them, we often make mistakes, but we still strive to be his disciples. How can we become his disciples? What does it look like to be his disciples? Today's passage gives us the answer. True disciples is the person who learns the knowledge from his teacher, but also his life. True disciples have the same mind as their teacher. I know it's difficult for the people who has different backgrounds to have same mind. Married couple even would have different minds, different dreams. Do you remember the sweet dating moments you really enjoyed with your spouse before marriage? Don't recall the, you know, the dating, the first love. We definitely enjoy the dating. Watching the same movie, walking on the same street, having the lunch together and dinner together. And it was a sweet moment. And at night, when it was the time to say bye, we would hesitate to say the word. When I was dating my wife before marriage, I parked my car in front of her house at night, and we talk and talk. We talk in her car for a long time and long time. And we said, hey, goodbye and good night, see you tomorrow. But we said, by the way, then we continue to talk and talk. We said good night, then we kept talking, talking. It was a sweet moment. And there is a dating couple. They passionately love each other. They are about to say goodbye in front of a house. And the boy says, ah, I hate to leave now. I should marry you because it is hard to leave every night, right? I'm going to die. I so hate to say goodbye. The girl watched him hesitating to leave and said,
me too.
The girl then he is cheered up and leaves toward home. On the way, he dreams of marriage. Ta-da-dum. And his dreams. She will wake me up with a sweet voice in the morning when I get married. She will prepare the suits, ties, and shirts ironed for me. We will have the breakfast together at the table. When I leave home to work, she will come out and kiss me. When I come back home from work, she cooks my favorite food and perfectly sets up the table. Wow, this will be heaven. He has this dream of marriage. On the other hand, the girl has different dream. She pretends to go into a house and look at her boyfriend. She smiles. Marriage? I get married? She leans on the door and imagines her marriage life for a while. When I am married, he will wake up me like a sleep-headed with a rich cough aroma. He says, the queen should drink only premium coffee. He prepares a French toast and coffee, then brings them to me when I am still in bed. We will go to work side by side and come back home together. When he comes home late from work, he will bring 100 roses and say, sorry. Then I pretend to accept his apology. We will live like this. Did you have this kind of dream? No. Different dreams. Though they are walking on the same street, they could have different dreams. They go to the same restaurant, and even they have the same food, they could have different dreams. In today's passage, the people are walking on the same street, walking toward the same destinations, but they have different dreams. They are Jesus and disciples. Today's passage is about the event that happens when Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. In previous passage, Jesus gave the prophecies of the passions three times. Not only once, but three times. He told his disciples that he would be persecuted, mocked, and finally, he will be killed. He told them at least three times. Then he took the 12 aside, and he is walking before them. Look at verse 32. Jesus was going before them. They are on the road. Jesus and his disciples were on the road going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus was going before them. He is leading them. He was not dragged, but leading them. He knew what would happen in Jerusalem. He knew what would happen to him. He was waiting. He knew what will be going on in Jerusalem. And what was waiting for him in Jerusalem? The crown? The throne? No. The cross. The death. Just said third prophecies of the passion, verse 33 and 34. Just said, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and Son of Man," he's talking about himself, "Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him." Just told them, "I will be killed." Then he is willingly moving towards Jerusalem. He was not taken away reluctantly, but he was actively, willingly walking before his disciples. The way of the cross, the way of the death, now just walking the way. How about his disciples? What do they think about the same street going up to Jerusalem? What did they think? They did not recognize Jesus' death in Jerusalem at all. They did not understand Jesus' hurt. They thought that when Jesus became a political king, then they would be placed in high position. They expect that they would have political power, and with the power, they could earn lots of money. Among the 12, there was two disciples who are impetuous and quick on draw and have nickname Son of Thunders. Do you know who they are? James and John. They came to Jesus and they asked this. Verse 35. 35. Yes. James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to him and saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." They suddenly ask Jesus to do for them whatever they ask, just like little kids. I have three kids, and last one, her name is Julie. She is seven now. And one day, she came to me and she hugged me, and she kissed me, you know, on both cheeks, and she said, "I love you, Dad. I love you, Dad." Then she said, "Daddy, my friend Sarah has Shopkins, the toys, the little stuff, the toys the girls usually likes. And Sarah has the Shopkins, the toys. And Rachel has that one, but I do not have any. My birthday is coming," she said. She didn't care to any situation. She just asked what she wants. Like a little kid, John and James, you know, came to Jesus and asked, Teacher, I want you to do for us whatever we ask." If I heard this, I would say, "What? Don't you understand this situation? I told you at least 30 times that I would be killed. And I'm going this way. Don't you know that will be happen at the end of this way? I'm so much disappointed at you. Think about me. Stop thinking about yourself only." But Jesus didn't say that. Then what did they ask him to do for themselves? To Jesus, who walks on the way of the cross, the way of the death, what did they ask Jesus like little kids? Look at the verse 36 and 37. They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." "Lord Jesus, I will join your suffering. I will join the cross. Don't say go home. I'll be crucified on your right or on your left. I will join your suffering. I will share your suffering." This was not what they wanted. What they had in mind was that when Jesus became the political king who rules of Israel, Palestine, the Roman Empire, they would want to sit on his right side or left side. They mean that we won't have secular power and money. At the time, when you became a king, remember our brother, James and me, and our brother. They use the holy words, "in your glory," but they understood it in secular terms. Finally, the reason that they follow Jesus is revealed. They went wherever Jesus went. They endured all these hard times because they wanted to be rich, because they want have a good job, because they want gain respect from others. There's a reason that they follow Jesus. And Jesus asked John and James in verse 38, but Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? And Jesus asked them, can you drink the cup that I drink? What does it mean, the cup? In the Old Testament, the cup of wine is the common metaphor for the wrath of God's judgment upon human sins and rebellion. So Jesus asked them if they can share his sufferings. Jesus asked the second question, can you be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? The image of baptism is parallel to that of the cup. So he asked them if they can join his death. But they didn't understand it. John and James did not understand the meaning of these questions at all. Then how about the other 10 disciples? When they heard the request of John and James, how they responded? Did they agree or did they get angry? Did they have different thought? Look at the verse 41. That's very interesting. And when the other 10 disciples heard it, they began to greatly displease with James and John. They were indignant. They would think, hey, John and James, hold on. Are the only people who have suffered in this wilderness? No. We have suffered too. We left behind the boat and net to follow Jesus. We left our job to follow Jesus. We want power. We want to have, you know, lots of money. We want to have a good job. We want to have good house and good cars. We want to have lots of good stuff. They have the same thought with James and John. This is the real face of the disciples who were following Jesus Christ. How about us? How about you? Why do you follow Jesus? Why do you want to be his disciples? Why do you come to church? Why do you worship the Lord? Do you follow Jesus to secure a job? Do you follow Jesus to have the better house? Do you follow Jesus to have the better cars, better business? Do you serve Jesus? Do you serve the church to receive the blessing from God? If so, we will be the same as James and John. We will be the same as the other 10 disciples. Jesus is not the way to get the secure wealth. Jesus is not the way to have the power. Jesus is not the way to get lots of money and better house and to secure a job. Jesus is the reason for the worship. Jesus is the reason for our life. Jesus is the reason for our praise. Jesus is walking with 12 disciples, but he feels lonely. No one understands his mind. No one bears the mind of Jesus. A large crowd followed Jesus wherever Jesus went. They heard the message from him. They watched the miracles Jesus performed with their eyes. 5,000 people who followed Jesus ate fish and bread Jesus provided with miracle. But Jesus did not call them his disciples. It's not enough to follow Jesus once or twice and just follow him. Likewise, we can't be his disciples just by coming to church. We can't be his true followers just by sitting up here. We can't be true Christians just by serving the church, serving the Jesus. Then, how can it be his disciples? How can we be his true followers? Today, passage gave us the answer in three ways. First, experience God's grace through the cross. Jesus died on the cross. Through his blood, we are saved. Verse 45 says that Jesus gave his life a ransom for us. 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many." He died on the cross for our sins, to save us. Without his blood, we can't be here. Without his precious blood, we can't worship him. Without the cross, we can't know God. We can't be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ made it all possible. So Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. We have been dead already, but God made us alive. How? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul is keeping saying, verse 4 and 5, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when you were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Because of his great love, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we were saved. We became the children of God." What a wonderful love it is. What a wonderful message it is. We received God's love and God's grace for free. We didn't pay anything. God gave us salvation for free. Because of this wonderful gospel, we serve him. We worship him. We now glorify him and we serve him. Not because of the expectations that God will give us material blessings, but because of the gospel. Experience God's grace through the cross. This will be the first step to be his disciples. And second, how can we be his disciples? Share the sufferings of Jesus. As we look at verse 38, Jesus asked John and James if they can share his suffering and death. And we have already answered, we want to be his disciples, right? Then he will ask you the same questions he asked to John and James. Can you share my sufferings? Can you join my sufferings. How would you answer the questions? Would you say no? No, Jesus. I want, but I am so busy for my life, for myself and for my family. I want to follow you. I want to join the suffering, but I'm so busy. Would you say, it depends on what they are, Lord? Or would you say to the question, can you share my suffering? Yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will live as a Christian wherever you go, wherever I go. Even though I have this advantage of it, I will follow you. I will share your sufferings. I will shine the light at the church. I will shine the light at home. I will shine the light at work. I will keep following you. Then you will be his disciples. And third, what can it be his disciples? Serve others. Jesus said to his disciples who were seeking secure blessings and power, verse 33, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desire to be first shall be slave of all. Jesus asks us to serve others as a slave. It means when we give the money to the people in need, we should not throw it, you know, to them and say, here you are, but serve them as their slaves. This is the right attitude of his disciples. And why? Why should we have the servant attitude to serve others? We can serve others as a friend. We can serve others as an owner, heart. We can serve others as we have the high position, so they can respect us and they can see the, you know, the blessing of God. Why should we serve others as a slave? Verse 45 says the answer. It starts with kai gar in Greek. It means for even. So verse 45 provides the reason that we should be slave. We should be servant to serve others. Look at the verse 45. For even the Son of God, Jesus, did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We should serve others because Jesus served us first. Jesus was a king. He was a Messiah. He definitely could be served, but he laid it down the vested right, and he served us, and he served others as a slave. He served us with servant heart. He served others with slave attitude. Why? Why did he serve us as a slave? This is the way to save us. This is the way to earn our soul. We want to be his disciples, not just followers, not just one of clouds who just once followed Jesus. We want to be his true followers, his disciples, then we should have the mind of Jesus. It's not enough to walk with him, just like John and James and the other 10 disciples. When we walk with him, we need the mind of Jesus. We need to have the same mind as Jesus. How? Experience God's grace through the cross. This will be the first step to become his disciples and share the sufferings of Jesus and serve others as Jesus did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message you gave us this morning. Though we make mistakes, we still strive to become Jesus' disciples, who learn not only knowledge from his teaching, but also his life, his serving, his mind. We pray that you help us walk with Jesus, having his mind. God, help us experience God's grace through the cross. And God, help us share the sufferings of Jesus. God, you help us serve others just as Jesus did for us. And I especially pray for the mission team. God, give them the faith and strength, wisdom and safety so they can reach the lost soul, so they can glorify your name wherever they go. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Brother Helly will come and lead the invitation to Jesus Christ.
Mm. 337, softly and tenderly. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner. Come home.
And Jesus touched your heart this morning. Remember that statement. We need to have the same mind that Jesus has.
Amen.
Lord willing, I'll be preaching tonight. I hope you'll come back.